back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Little more than halfway done. In case you've missed any of the interviews, they will be available for download both on TSN1290.ca, IllegalCurve.com as well, and on iTunes. We've heard from Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province, Michael Farber from TSN's The Reporter, Sports Illustrated Hockey Hall of Fame journalist, and Frank Provenzano, assistant general manager, former assistant general manager to the Dallas Stars. Want to shift our focus now to the upcoming NHL free agency period. Last week, we spent our time talking about free agent defensemen and goaltenders that might be a match for your Winnipeg Jets. Want to talk about free agent forwards now and who the Winnipeg Jets should be targeting. Going to spend the next 25 minutes or so doing that. Want to hear from you, of course, also. At Illegal Curve is our Twitter feed. Send us your comments about who you want to see in a Winnipeg Jets uniform for next season.
You know, tricky. I think their needs are at center and right wing in terms of the top six. We look at their centers, and you got, you know, Lyokinen, and you got Bremistrov. Who knows what's going to happen with him? You got Little that you got to sign, but likely will. You know, Jimmy Slater, I think, is going to be slated for that. No pun intended, slated for that fourth line role. You got Mark Scheifele. You know, where does he fit in? I think he likely will try and break. We'll bring camp with the squad, and where does he fit in? But I still think, even having said all that and listing those centers, having a lot of centers doesn't mean you don't need a center, a top quality. So let's kind of break it down here.
Absolutely. Let's start.
And I'm sorry, Drew, to interrupt quickly. They also need some third line help. They need penalty killers. There's a lot of needs here. They could sign 3, 4, 5 guys here.
Yeah. Do you expect them to do that?
I don't know about that many, but they have needs in that many spots.
Let's start with a guy who just became a free agent. He was informed that he's going to be bought out by the Philadelphia Flyers, Danny Briere.
I mean, he'd be a perfect fit here for a guy who can line up. He can shoot. He can pass. Good skater, can play with Evander Kane, he'd be great. He's not coming here.
Yeah.
I think just based on the fact that separation, which we talked about, he's going to stay in the Northeast. I don't know where that'll be in the Northeast, but there's a lot of teams, and he's a guy who can fit in many places and is great in the playoffs. So while he's appealing to Jets fans, I don't think there's any chance he does come here.
I think the Winnipeg Jets would love to have Danny Briere, and you'd have to think that it's an option that they would call his agent and see if he would come to Winnipeg, but At this stage in his career, you know, he might want to go to a team that's on the cusp of greatness. Richie mentioned this off air. You know, a team that he might fit in with was the Islanders to play second line center. But
well, this is a guy
who's he's going to have a shortage of suitors.
That's
a guy
right.
like Danny Briere, and we right. talked about this too, Drew, off air. He's going to be available at less money than he was making in Philadelphia, which is really appealing. If you can get, you know, Daniel Briere for $3 or $4 million, I mean, you do that every day of the week.
Right. But this guy who's played his entire career in the Eastern Conference, he's not coming west at this point in his career.
Played for Phoenix for a bit.
Sorry, fine, Phoenix.
But no, I mean, he's got his kids there, and he's going through a separation. So, I mean, they're in Philly, near Philly. I mean, I actually think that the Islanders would be a nice fit for him. You slot him behind Tavares ahead of Franz Nielsen. And he's good in the playoffs. I think they're an up-and-coming squad. I do like that fit. There are other fits, but I really do like that fit.
Jerome McGinley.
Yeah, of course, the Jets have a right wing need to line up behind or with Blake Wheeler. Does he fit in 100%? Does he want to win a cup? Yes. And is he going to win one here in the near future? No, not likely.
Right.
So while he's worth a call, like all these guys are, because it's always worth a call, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you go down the list of most of these guys, and a lot of them are worth a call, but unlikely, unless you're a guy like, I mean, the Jets had to overpay to get Ole Okunin last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at the guy who's at the tail end of his career, who the Jets gave an extra year to, probably gave him 2 years when a lot of guys were only giving him one, or they gave him extra cash when you know, guys were giving him less. Those are the kind of guys that are probably going to end up here, but we'll still go through the entire list. Patrick Elias from the New Jersey Devils.
And I don't see him leaving Jersey. Of course, a guy who can play center, can play wing.
It's only played for one team, Richie, I agree. Yeah. I don't see a guy like Patrick Elias hitting the free agency market, and it's a little bit surprising, quite frankly, that he wasn't signed. In New Jersey, they've got that ownership situation resolved to a certain degree with Jeff Vanderbeek essentially buying out some of the other guys there.
I hope there's an arena when we go for the draft next week. Are they going to close it down? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, no, I think they should be able to fit you guys in for at least another week or 10 days.
We've all
before
been
it gets before it gets foreclosed on or whatever.
We've all been there. One of the nicest arenas.
Oh, yeah.
In the NHL. But I see Elias getting if he wants another 3-year deal similar to like a Pavel Datsyuk, I see that happening.
Not for that amount of money.
Eliash has, no, not for that amount of money, but that type of contract. They're similar age. I think Eliash is 1 year or 2 years older.
Yeah, I think 2 years older,
yeah,
I believe.
But, you know, Eliash, I mean, was one of their only players this year. I mean, the Devils were awful. We know that. And he's been one of the most consistent players for that organization year after year. So I'll be surprised if he goes anywhere else but New Jersey.
This is a guy who's interesting. He's probably got some, he's got some gas left in the tank. Mike Ribeiro.
Well, yeah, Mike Ribeiro, I mean, he's going to be asking for big money. And I think if you're looking at size up the middle, Ribeiro doesn't have that either. I think size up the middle, he doesn't provide that. Passing ability, he most certainly provides that. But his game, if you're thinking of lining some, if you're thinking of keeping Little Ladd and Wheeler together, then you're likely trying to get a center to play with Evander Kane. And Evander Kane and Mike Ribeiro couldn't have more opposite styles if they tried. You know, Ribeiro's an east-west guy hanging to the puck, finding the seam. Kane's a northwest guy. Northwest, north-south guy.
And, you're very close with Kanye and Kim. That's why you said northwest there, right?
And that's just it, right? So I don't think he'd come here, although I think he would probably go anywhere to pay him a lot, to be honest. I think he might be going through a separation as well, or just gone through one. In any event...
Are you the lawyer for all these guys?
I don't know, but in any event, I don't think he's somebody who would fit into what the Jets are doing. And there's always character issues with him as well, and he's soft. And you push him around in the playoffs a bit, and push him around in the regular season if you want to.
Tim Connolly.
Well, you know, Tim Connolly... Well, I'd have to get in here on this one, too. Tim Connolly is a guy who can't stay healthy. But... He's a good passer. He's a tiny guy, so, I mean, doesn't fit the size quotient, doesn't add to the size of the Jets, and he's an issue, but he's a right-handed shooting guy who's a good passer. You know, they might put a call in on him, but, I mean, you know, we play 30, 35, 40 games. They could do worse, but he's not that inspiring.
Right, and again, we have to consider that the Jets are still developing their players, and who are you signing now, and what role is he going to play on the team? Tim Connolly will be a secondary guy on this team at this stage of his career, a guy that can score, but he does have injury problems, and you know they have to start thinking too of guys that are potential five or six year players. You can't just keep signing guys for 1 or 2 years. I mean, a guy like Kyle Wellwood, again. A lot of what Kevin Cheveldayoff does this year is going to depend on what guys he brings back, whether it's on defense, forward, even goaltender. I mean, we talked about it last week, 10 UFAs for the Jets.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance some of those guys, if not more than half of them, won't come back. So
Connolly's not a bad option, is he? And I think like he's a good passer. He's smaller and injury-prone. But, I mean, if it's a guy you can get on for a one-year deal, he's not going to get more than 1 year. Mm-hmm. A one-year deal, pretty cheap to pay some second power play time and play a little with your skilled players. You could do worse.
That's what we've resorted to. You could do worse.
Well, you could.
Do you even want to touch on the guy like Alfredson? I mean, we know he's either going to Ottawa or he's retiring. Yeah. What about Timu and Jagr?
No, next.
Next, I mean,
well, there's
it's a dream situation for Jets fans, but
no.
I mean, Timu's either retiring or he's staying in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. He's not moving his family at this point in time.
Next.
We haven't talked about some of the bigger guys, literally like Horton and.
We'll get to them. I got a list here, Ezzy. I got a list we got to go through.
Well, I thought those guys would be right at the top of the list.
No, the list is a randomized list. It keeps everybody guessing.
You have your hand in the Tim Hortons right now.
Yeah, Brendan Morrow.
Brendan Morrow is a potential candidate to be re-signed by the Pittsburgh Penguins, but it doesn't look like that. And you have to think that he's going again to a team that is on the cusp of a Stanley Cup because of his age. I love Brendan Morrow. You guys know that. And he's a prototypical power forward. Even though he's a smaller guy, he can bang and crash. And he wasn't as effective as I thought he would be for the Pittsburgh Penguins in that third round against Boston especially. But Brendan Morrow's a guy, too, that he aside from, you know, this last month, has only been on one team. And you have to think that he wants to go to a team like that is on the cusp. I don't know if Winnipeg's a good match, but
I see him,
that's just my opinion.
I see him fitting kind of in like a Vancouver-Edmonton role. Edmonton needing size and toughness and veterans up front. He's not as good as he used to be, obviously, and then Vancouver could add some character and grit to that squad. So I see him being there. Not a guy, especially left winger, doesn't add speed to the roster. Sure, he'd be nice, but he's not going to come here and play third line left wing. And so I think that's why you have to discount that option.
Vancouver had interest in him before as well.
Pierre-Marc Bouchard.
Well, Drew, I mean, Pierre-Marc Bouchard certainly is skilled. oft injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's going to play your wing spot and be smaller, I mean, again, I think you make a call on him because he could add to your power play, and he adds a skill level that you don't have right now. But he's smaller, and he's not reliable, so you're not really offering much more, maybe two-year deal max, and I don't know what he's going to be asking for per year, but I could see some team maybe, I don't know, I think it's worth a shot, but I wouldn't overpay for him.
I could see like a team in the Eastern Conference who's having trouble mm-hmm. scoring goals, like even in New Jersey, possibly picking up a Bouchard, but he was mighty disappointing this year for the Wild. He didn't have a good year. And he got a lot of opportunity, too. He was one of those guys that I always expected to one day kind of be like an 80-point player, and he's really struggled. Injuries had a big part in that. But he's a guy that I expected to probably sign on that first day of free agency because he does have that offensive ability that a lot of teams covet.
Can't teach that skill, right? So
that's right. Let's leave it there for now. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're talking about the unrestricted free agent for TSN 1290. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Coming up at 2 p.m., Grant Saunier, general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, is going to join us to talk about the QMJHL draft prospects.
What song is that, Drew?
You know I don't know.
You don't know that song?
I can't remember the names. I recognize it. I just don't know the name.
Is he?
I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred.
Anyways, continuing on with our examination of the unrestricted free agent forwards.
What was the song?
Train and Van, Clash.
Okay, well done. I assume we can skip over Nick Antropov.
Yeah, Richie, you would like that. You know, you're a hipster, Richie. You would like a band like that.
If a hipster, when Drew was growing up, maybe, but...
Yeah, thank you. Skipping Nick Antropov?
I think he'd be a great addition to the Jets. He could play first line, left or center, and he would be really good with Vander Kane and or Ladd and Wheeler.
They should pay him $5 million, right?
Sorry, I blacked out. Was that Mike Smith or me?
Derek Roy, formerly the Vancouver Canucks, Dallas Stars, and Buffalo Sabres, all in the last 12 months, I think.
You know, that says that people want him, but also people don't mind getting rid of him. So you could analyze that in both ways. I think with Derek Roy, guys, you have a guy who can skate, guy who can create, who can play the power play point for you. More of a second line power play guy, probably in a good team, as evidenced by Vancouver. But the Jets could use some help maybe on the points, second point, but that's not one of their biggest needs. I think half boards is their bigger need, so I don't think the points is actually something they want to necessarily address too much with Bogosian, Pufflin, and Enstrom able to play up there and the likes of Postma, etc. He's a guy who could play with Evander Kane, and they could do worse, but the question is, you know, he doesn't have the size element, and while he can pass, and certainly I think a better player than Ole Okunin, how do you play the two of them together in the same roster, and has a fit in with Brian Little, and then who's checking and where Scheifele playing and all that stuff. Worth a call. I mean, maybe you say, okay, we're going to play Scheifele on the right wing, kind of like Sagan was brought up in Boston, and you put Derek Roy with Scheifele and Kane, and you have a scoring line. You put Jokinen in more of a checking role. I don't think he's necessarily that well suited to that. But you can't make organizational decisions, strictly on mistakes that you've made in the past and not admitting those mistakes. I mean, it was a mistake to sign Ole Okunin. And it was a bridge contract. He hasn't added anything in reality. And the question is, what do you do with him in the middle of there? Do you say, okay, he's going to be better next year and he's our second line center? Or do you say, hey, maybe he isn't that good and we need to fill that spot? I'll question that. I think that Roy is worth the call and to see. But... you know, he's still a bridge guy for you. He's not going to be, he's past his prime, and he can still be productive, but he's not that great. And I think he'll probably be out for the big payday, because this is probably his last big payday, if it's big.
Yeah, he's, I think, 30 at this point.
He is 30.
He's 30, so, past his prime, probably not going to score like he did in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And he was disappointing in Vancouver, but, we're talking about free agents that would be a good fit in Winnipeg and that are realistic. And, he would probably be a guy that is realistic, and it would probably be tough to fit him in under the salary cap, especially with all of the restricted free agents that we've talked about a lot on the show. But when you're considering Ole Jokinen's lack of production, and Derek Roy is a better player at this point in his career than Ole Jokinen is, I think it would be a good fit, and I agree with Richie. I think he would play better with Evander Kane. Olli Jokinen and Evander Kane, yeah. Didn't work out at all. We've documented that a lot, and that's probably the biggest concern for me on this team. I don't have any real big concerns if the Jets are healthy in goal and on defense. I'd like them to sign a veteran physical defenseman, mm-hmm. second pairing left shooting guy. We've talked about that, mm-hmm. and Chevy knows this, and I imagine he's going to try to address this going forward. But you got to find some secondary scoring. Then that Ladd Little Wheeler line, Richie, you can't depend on that line again.
That's right.
Because they did everything they were asked. And they were the scorers on most nights. You got to get some secondary offense. They didn't get it from guys like Jokinen, Wellwood, and Antropov last year.
If Breer doesn't, there's talk that Ottawa's interested in Breer. If Breer doesn't land in Ottawa, I could see Derek Roy. I believe he played in the 67s. I could see him slotting
from,
in.
From Ottawa.
Yeah, he's from Ottawa.
Yeah.
I could see, or was he on Kitchener? No,
he was 67.
Yeah, 67.
Brian Kilray, maybe?
Yeah, it's from Ottawa. In any event, I think he fits in well in terms of a skilled second-line center, because I think Turris is maybe proving to be a 2B, and they want to add a little more skill to play with some of those to mix it up there. But he's not big, but I don't see him fitting in. I mean, I can see him fitting in here. I just don't see him ending up here, but it's certainly worth a phone call.
Probably the guy who might be the most marquee of the unrestricted free agents this year is Nathan Horton.
Yeah, and, Horton, as Jack Edwards of Ness and New England Sports Network has said on the show before, prior to the playoffs, Nathan Horton might have been on his way out of Boston. I think that Boston probably keeps him if they can get the deal. Chiarelli's really done a nice job of securing his players on the long term, and I know they have Bergeron up, I think, after next year. Check to make sure on that. But I see Horton probably ending up there. Now, if you think about it in terms of does he fit the Jets' need, 100%. He's a big, what they want to add size. He's a right winger. They need a right winger. He can shoot. He can play the game. He can pop in 30. Of course he'd be a desirable option here, but unless they offer more money than everybody else, they're not getting him.
Bergeron's up after next season. You're right about that.
Yeah, Nathan Horton, I think, is right now, especially with Perry and Getzlaff out of the equation, he is the marquee free agent. But is he really an unrestricted free agent, considering that he's been so good in the playoffs, and it looks like Boston's going to re-sign him?
Well, he'll hear offers. I don't think they're going to re-sign him before the free agent period opens up. Unless they really back up the truck to him and just give him what he wants dollars-wise, I think he'll hear offers.
Concussion issues in the past, though.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Ryan Clough.
Ryan Clough's a good character guy, up-and-down winger. He's been good in the playoffs in the past, left winger. Doesn't skate like he used to. Wasn't the best skier in the world, but he's slow now. And so, do the Jets want a guy like that? And I believe he's a Saskatchewan boy. And do they want a guy like that to play third-line left wing? Well, in that case, yeah. And if the money's right, I could see him bringing him in here to play kind of a third-line left wing role. But if he's going to play a third-line left wing role, kind of playing a second line for the most part in San Jose, if he's going to play a third-line role, will he want to play at Winnipeg? And if he's a Saskatchewan boy, maybe that's something that's more appealing to him.
Yeah, Clough turned up his game big time. He was struggling in San Jose, because when he first came into the league, his first few years, he was putting up numbers, and he wasn't producing in San Jose, and he improved quite a bit once he went to the Rangers. And he's a guy that would definitely be an improvement, a guy that you could put on the third line and maybe even the second line.
Well, he wasn't fitting in New York, though, as he was injured. He couldn't get going after the first little bit, right?
But if you look at his numbers, he had no goals in San Jose, and then he had five or six goals.
He scored his first goal of the year after he was traded to New York. And then after that, it was sort of downhill from that
point. His production was better.
But I make the mistake about Saskatchewan. I don't know why I thought that, but maybe it's because Drew Remendez from Saskatchewan, we've had him on the show before.
And he's the San Jose Sharks broadcaster.
But Ezzy, if you're Ryan Clough and you want to be maybe closer to home, would you play left wing on the Jets? Or you play left wing on the Habs, for example, third line kind of thing? That's a question.
He's a desirable guy for the scoring touch and the size and the fact he'll drop the gloves. They're going to have to target they have to bring in some veterans.
Characters, too.
Especially when you consider that they're going to lose Antropov. There's a chance that they don't re-sign Wellwood. And there's only a limited amount of guys that are going to come up from the A next year. So,
if any,
somebody's going to have to be signed to play either center or wing on the top line, top two lines,
Well, here's another guy who's a right winger, Michael Ryder.
Well, I mean, Michael Ryder fits in a need in the sense that, you know, he's not the best skater, not the most physical, but he scores and he's a shooter. A really good wrist shot. Do they
also
think,
from Newfoundland?
Yeah. Do they? I mean, do they? Does he fit in? He's maybe not the most intense guy in the world. I think he's worth a call to help the right side, and I think for the right dollars and term, he's a guy who could possibly end up here.
Yeah. And his pedigree, and he's got the Stanley Cup with Boston, and he'll get interest. The last two guys are particularly appealing because the Jets aren't going to sign. There isn't going to be a $6 million signing this year. So that's you're talking about like a secondary winger as an option, the only option here, really.
Think about Ryder in terms of the setting up of the power play. You know, do the Jets have a right-handed shooting guy who's got a good shot, who can station on the off, you know, in the slot and draw attention? They don't. And the power play could use work. And I think he provides, and he can be solid in the power play, he provides a different element to the squad, and I think it's something they should consider. You obviously need a guy who can pass it through the seam, but even so, I think it's a guy they should consider because Wheeler isn't kind of a boom shooter. Like, he's not a one-shot shooter kind of guy. And on the right-handed shooting guys in the team, I think that's it in terms of guys who can really score from anywhere. Wheeler needs to have the puck to score, kind of is the way he is, drive the puck down the wing. Ryder can be a pass-through-the-seam shooter and a guy who shoots from the right side who can play the left side on the power play on the off wing. I like the options that he provides to the team. I think it gives them different elements that they don't have right now.
Hopefully Chevy's listening right now.
Yeah,
sign Michael Ryder.
He was waiting to hear what our advice was. I'm sure that was the case. Anyways, let's go to break. We'll pick this up again at around 2:15. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk Quebec Major Junior Hockey League draft prospects with Grant Saunier, the general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders. You're listening to TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Remus is hard at work in the other room trying to get a hold of Grant Saunier to join us to talk about the QMJHL draft prospects. Of course, we will be at the draft next weekend in New Jersey. A programming note, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, it's a full day of hockey coverage next Saturday here on TSN 1290. Hustler and Lawless with a special Saturday edition from 9 to 11. Then from 11 to 3, right across the TSN radio networks, it's a comprehensive NHL draft preview. We're going to be a part of it. You'll hear all of the TSN insiders that you know from television. We're joined by our colleagues in Toronto, in Ottawa, in Vancouver, and everywhere else. And we will be on a special start time, 3 p.m. next Saturday, live from New York City, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., the Illegal Curve Hockey Show next Saturday here on TSN 1290.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He is an ESPN draft insider, and he's also the newly appointed general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, Grant Saunier. Grant, first of all, congratulations on the new gig with the Islanders.
Thanks, guys. Lots of excitement. It's kind of a dream job for me, being from Prince Edward Island, and we've been doing lots of exciting new stuff, unveiling our new logo and our new jerseys last night. We had about 800 people show up to the arena for a barbecue and a little bit of a opening summer day festivity, and it's been great. I appreciate that, guys.
It sounds like it's going to be a terrific excitement there in Charlottetown. I mean, the Islanders were, there's a team there, they were the PEI Rocket, but they've now been rebranded into the Charlottetown Islanders. So it's sort of a refresh on that franchise there with new ownership and obviously a new head coach, a new general manager in yours truly, or in yourself, and then you retained the head coach in Gordy Dwyer.
Yeah, we did announce that yesterday, actually. We cleaned up his contract. He had a year left, but we cleaned that up and then gave him a two-year extension. So he's, my experience, it's not fair to come into a new situation. Gordy's done a great job of not only coaching, but he's entrenched himself in the community. Very, very popular and a really good young up-and-coming coach. Former player, of course. My relationship with him goes back to when I was in management with Tampa. We traded for him, so. And I've known Gordy. It's not a new relationship, and happy to give him some security for he and his family, so he can feel good about going into the season and doing a good job for us.
Absolutely. Grant, as part of our draft preview ahead of next week's draft in New Jersey, we've been going sort of CHL league by league. We started with the W, and we did the OHL last week, and now we're on to the QMJHL this week. You know the league as well as anybody does. First question has to be about Jonathan Drouin, Nathan MacKinnon. You know, which, if you had the first overall pick, if you're the Colorado Avalanche, you know, is it MacKinnon or is it Drouin? And we'll leave Seth Jones out of the equation for now.
Hands down, Nathan MacKinnon. I've never wavered all season long. I think I've mentioned on the show with you guys before when we've talked about it. There's certainly games that I've been to where Jonathan Drouin's been the better player. But hands down for me, Nathan MacKinnon's the best player in this draft. I've never wavered from that. And really what puts him over the top for me is this kid's just got some special qualities that the way I described it on one show I was on is that when Jonathan Drouin grabs the puck, people in the stands go, wow. When Nathan MacKinnon grabs the puck, he lifts people right out of their seats. He really does. He's that dynamic of a player. He's built for today's game. His short little quick bursts of speed give him body position to gain body position for one-on-one battles, which in today's game, if the referees are calling the game the way it's supposed to be called, body position is everything. And obviously his offensive abilities and the numbers and the things that he's done to help lead his team to the Memorial Cup speak for themselves. So Nathan MacKinnon would be number one, but boy, oh boy, Jonathan Drouin wouldn't be a bad number two pick.
Talking goalies, Grant, and it's always difficult. You know, some goalies come in, like the Dan Blackburns and certain other guys are well-regarded and it just doesn't happen for them, and other guys like Luongo have brilliant careers. Zach Fekale, is he a guy that you think as highly of as others, and if you were in a general manager's seat in the National Hockey League, would you be taking a goaltender that high considering how unpredictable they can be at times?
Well, if you play the odds tell you do not take a goaltender in the first round because more times than not they end up performing. If and when they do make it and meet their expectations, it's usually with a different hockey club. So, I mean, having said that, I mean, if you have a need in Mets, you have to take the goaltender. It's really hard to slot goaltenders into a draft. I know lots of teams that I've been with have a separate goaltender list, and when they get to a certain point, if the player... The next player on their list is gone, then they'll go and maybe go to a goaltender. But I do think highly of Zach Fekale. I think winning the Memorial Cup will answer some critics. And you know, this kid reminds me of Cam Ward in the calmness in which he plays. He looks a little bit smaller in the net. He is 6'1", so size isn't an issue. But what I like mostly about him, and I learned a lot when I worked for the Los Angeles Kings being around Bill Ranford, he referred to the term as his post-save recovery. This kid gets out, he challenges, he makes the first save, but the unpredictability of rebounds in today's game with the way shooters can shoot the puck, you have to be able to make a second save, and he has the athletic ability to do that. So I think Zach Fekale is one heck of a good prospect. It's not a great year for goaltenders. And maybe in 3 or 4 years' time, we'll be saying, you know what? There's lots of goaltenders drafted that ended up turning out. But, you know, he's the number one goaltender on the list for me, and I have him right in the 20 to 25 range on my list.
Grant, the next guy that we wanted to ask you about was Samuel Morin. He plays for the Rimouski Oceanic, of course, Sidney Crosby's former team. This guy's 6'6", and he's shot up a little bit on some draft boards. Other people have him lower in the first round, but who would you compare him to that's maybe in the NHL right now? And maybe what are his strengths and weaknesses and where maybe do you think he's going to go there in the first round?
I think he's going to go in the 15 to 20 range. I really do, especially a team that has multiple picks in this draft. Mm-hmm. You know, we call it swinging for the fences. Well, if this kid turns out and meets expectations, someone's going to be extremely happy. I have him listed at 6'7", so call it 6'6", call it 6'7", maybe he's 6'8" when all is said and done. He's still only 200 pounds. I think when he's done growing, he's going to be 230. And people that don't know this player really well, he had a shoulder injury this year, but once he overcame that and prior to that shoulder injury, this kid plays with truculence. He's got a lot of toughness to him. It's hard to say he's Zdeno Chara. Actually, at the same age, he skates way better than Zdeno Chara ever skated. And this kid's got great range, great mobility, able to make a play under pressure, knows how to use his stick and his body very, very well. and you add the toughness factor into that, if this kid grows and matures the way that I think he will, someone's going to be ecstatic about having him in their lineup.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca. We're joined by Grant Sonnier. Grant is an ESPN draft insider. He's also the general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. Grant, the next guy we wanted to talk to you about is Anthony Mantha from Val d'Or. That's where he played his junior hockey. You know, guy who put up some big numbers last year, 67 games played, 50 goals, 89 points. For Val d'Or, how do you see him projecting as a future NHL player?
Well, the thing that hurts Anthony Mantha's stock a little bit is I use the word sleepy. There's some games you go and watch him and he's a little bit sleepy. And when I interviewed him, he even admitted that consistency was an issue. But I chalked that up as immaturity. I mean, let's face it, we're talking about 17-year-old kids here, and they're not all going to be perfect players. The upside in this kid is tremendous. You mentioned the offensive output, the 50 goals. What's interesting for me to note when I watched him play, it's how he scored the goals. This guy understands how to find open ice. And if he's playing with someone that can get him the puck, he has a great release. He can really shoot the puck. He is willing to play in traffic, which is important for big guys. There's nothing worse than a soft big player in today's game. People just eat those types of players apart. So he's got the size, he's got the skating, he's got the release. So I think, again, if maturity serves its natural course here, you're looking at a potential 20 to 25 goal scorer. And as he gets stronger and he does have that willingness to play and compete, I think the sky's the limit for this kid.
Grant, what about Adam Earn out of Quebec in the queue? A guy who seems more slated towards passing the puck than scoring. Can you talk about his game at all and what you see for him in the future?
Yeah, American-born winger, left shot, left winger, played in Quebec. Much documented turbulent relationship with Patrick Waugh. Now, anybody that knows Patrick personally would say, well, that might be a good thing because Patrick's not an easy guy to play for. You know, there was rumors of this player being suspended and sent home. I guess there's some issues with conditioning, but I look at all of those factors and I say, again, when he grows up, when somebody gets a hold of this kid and they turn him in the right direction and get him acting more like a pro, I think they've got themselves one heck of a player. Reminds me of TJ Oshie at the same age. He's got that grease to his game. He gets under people's skin. And when he's engaged in the game is when he's at his best. I saw him in back-to-back games when he came through the Maritimes. That would have been the fourth and fifth times I saw him play this year. And he was just a rat on the ice, and he played excellent. And I like that. Today's game requires grit to play. And this guy, while people will look at him and probably label him as that greasy rat-type player, I see that as a positive. So he's not the type of player you're going to want fighting. He does have the offensive ability in terms of his vision and passing, as you mentioned. And I think, again, you know, we can go up and down this list all the way down into the 40 range, and there's great prospects. But I think Adam Ernie is going to be a steal for somebody in this draft.
Grant, I want to go back to Rimouski. I just want to talk about guys from Rimouski because I like that team so much. Frédéric Gauthier is a guy, I know that he won gold at the under-18 championships. Why should somebody be drafting him either in the first round or maybe as a early second-round pick?
Well, I don't think he's getting out of the first round, and I'm a guy that's been hard on this kid. He broke his jaw this year. Just from a raw physical standpoint, he's very impressive. He's got the great knee bend, the great stride. He's 6'5", 210 pounds. The problem I have with his game is he's hardly ever the first guy on the puck. You know, if I want to play devil's advocate with the player, people tell me how good defensively he is, and I kind of chuckle and I say he has to be because he's never first on the puck. And that is an issue for me. But he's one of the only true rookies that's in the first round for me. And what I mean by true rookie is he's played his first year in the league. He played midget hockey last year. And these big guys like him, the coordination and the maturity comes a little bit slower to some of these kids. He's got a good skill set. He's got a good stick. He certainly can skate. I talked to that. I think if if this kid is committed, which I'm not going to say because he's not active and engaging and being first on the puck that he's not committed, but I just need to see a little bit more out of him. If he played with a lot more energy, then I think he'd be extremely high in the first round. I have a hard time believing that this guy's going to slide out of the first round, but he could because it's such a deep draft.
Would you pick Lauren Dauphin at Chicoutimi ahead of him? And if so, you know, why? And what does Dauphin bring to the table?
I would not pick Dauphin ahead of him. What Dauphin brings to the table is a really exciting skill set, but he is an under-matured physical player right now. Mm-hmm. So the word projection is a word that's hardly ever talked or not talked about enough. And you have to project Dauphin. And when he's strong enough and he becomes a man and ready to play, I think he could surprise some people. But just on the difference in size and the raw physical ability in Gauthier, I just can't ever see myself taking Dauphin. But what I do like about Dauphin is he's the type of kid, and it's funny, when I coached, I used to tell young kids this all the time, he's the type of kid that goes into the corner, and right now he gets knocked down 80% of the time. But he also is the kid that gets right back up and goes in and gets knocked down again. There's going to come a day when his strength levels improve, where he's going to be the guy knocking people down. And that's when you really see the learning curve start to really grow in a hurry, when a kid starts to gain confidence. Because I don't care who you are, if you physically get dominated over and over and over again, it starts to knock something out of you. It's like a fighter that keeps taking them on the button. After a while, he doesn't want to fight anymore. Well, this kid has shown me and proved to me, every game I've seen him play, he gets knocked down, he gets backed up, and that's very attractive to me.
Grant, Emile Poirier is a guy out of Gatineau. He's kind of ranked as going in the late first round, early second round, depending on what list you're looking at. But he's been described as a spark plug who's all over the ice. What can you tell us about Poirier?
He's a really, really interesting player, and I've debated this with many, many scouts. I know some scouts out there who I highly respect have a problem with his skating, but it's the reason I sit at center ice when I watch a game. I don't sit in an end zone, and I'm not saying I'm smarter than everybody else, but his ability to close gaps on people or to break away from people, and when you have a side view, you get a better idea of the burst of speeds and quickness. He's an unorthodox skater. There's no question that he's not a fluent, perfect type skater. But this kid breaks away from people. He breaks away and gets scoring chances because of his skating burst. He also gets in on the puck first. He's a 6'1" right shot right winger that's almost 200 pounds, and he plays with a lot of truculence. I really like the way he goes in and finishes checks. He's got underrated skill. He's just the type of player. He's a better skating Ryan Clough to me, who played in your city that you like to say Rimouski often. Ryan Clough played in Rimouski, and he reminds me of Ryan Clough. But Ryan Clough had more grit in terms of the fighting aspect. But this kid's got high grit, and his skating really boggles people right now. I'm suggesting that skating is not a factor. Skating will not hold this kid back from playing in the NHL.
Grant Saunier, ESPN Draft Insider, General Manager of the Charlottetown Islanders of the QMJHL. Thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and we look forward to seeing you at the draft in New Jersey.
Well, just before I go, I have to mention this. That once the draft concludes, my duties with ESPN are going to end. I'm living out my commitment. Mike Hume, my editor, has been just an awesome guy, and I've really enjoyed the media side of it, and I appreciate you guys getting me on. I feel like I'm a friend of the show, and certainly moving forward, anything I can do to help out from the Quebec League, I'll certainly help you guys as much as I can, and I really appreciate getting on with you guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely, Grant. It's been a lot of fun from our perspective, and when we talk to you next year, we'll talk about the Charlottetown Islanders hopefully doing well there in the QMJHL.
Awesome, guys. Thanks, and enjoy the draft. We'll see you soon.
Take care, Grant. Thanks very much. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Can I start talking now?
Well,
you guys told me to wait until you gave me a signal. Can I go now?
Good song.
It is a good song.
You can go.
Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to Grant Saunier.
This song came out just about the same time that Drew broke the Alexei Zhaminov Jeremy Roenick trade.
Do you want to retell that story?
It was at camp. I think it was like a Friday evening. We're all getting ready for dinner. And Drew like walks into the middle of the circle and he's like, I have a trade to announce. I was like, it's the Coyotes at that point. Coyotes have traded Alexei Zhaminov for Jeremy Roenick. And then he just walked away.
See, that was where your career as a sports broadcaster was born.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. People are getting a behind-the-scenes Jewish camp, 1997.
That's right.
Was it 97?
That was in 96 summer.
That was only a year after little Richie's bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah was when, 95?
96. So it's just before.
Little Richie. Little 14-year-old Richie.
It's funny because Drew was at camp, but they're like, why is a 45-year-old guy in the cabin with 13-year-olds?
There it is.
Saw that coming from a mile away.
We should actually have like music. So whenever we tell an age joke, you just hear this kind of like funny, like, you know, like.
Well, Tim just left. We don't even know where he is.
Anyways, let's continue on looking at the free agent forwards that are on the market. Guy that, you know, a lot of interest to me, Steven Weiss, Florida.
Yeah, a lot of interest to every other team, too. You know, Drew, he's a guy who's probably like your 60, 65 point guy. He's going well. He's a, you know, good passer. Some people think he's got a bad rap. I think he's kind of coming to his own. He's injury prone a little bit at times. He's a nice second line center. I mean, look at Detroit. You know, Detroit has interest. You know, Toronto has interest. Detroit, he fits kind of well because we're going to talk about Valtteri Filppula. Mm-hmm. Maybe Weiss slots in right behind Datsyuk. He'd be a real nice second line center. He's played first line center on a team. So, you know, he's played against other teams' good players. He can play second line, maybe get some easier matchups. I like him as a player. But he's probably going to get a pretty good contract here. And the Jets should be interested in him for sure. But I don't see them outbidding the other teams that are also interested in him.
Yeah, I think Steven Weiss would be a great fit in Winnipeg if they can get him. Because it took him a while. He was a high draft pick. I think he was top five, if not higher than that. Might be wrong about that, but I remember him being a high draft pick. And it took him a while to get going in Florida. But he's been consistent when healthy. He's only played for one team. And again, as Richie mentioned, he'll be a guy that's probably looking for a 3 or 4 year deal. You know, and he won't come cheap.
Drafted number 4 overall in the 2001 NHL entry draft.
Yeah, it took him a while to get going, but I like his game. I believe he's from Markham, Ontario. He is a guy he's a guy that still has a good scoring touch.
You mentioned Valtteri Filppula. Let's talk about his options.
He's a candidate to get re-signed, I think. You can't eliminate that.
He might price himself out like Hudler did. You know, that's the issue there with him. Is he a second-line center? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Is he a second-line center? And if so, what's he worth? To me, I don't think he's somebody who interests the Jets too much. I'm not so sure how good he is as a second-line center. And, you know, controls the puck, well, you know, issues in traffic, and not the biggest guy in the world, I don't believe so. I don't see him being a player of interest for the Jets. I mean, they could call on him if they don't think the market's paying him what maybe he wants, but I don't see him being at the top of the list.
Played a lot with Datsyuk and Franzen this year in Detroit, but Filppula, a guy that's limited physically, but has a definite dynamic skill set. I mean, the guy has good speed, but almost kind of a perimeter player. And a guy,
it's like a glorified Burmistrov almost.
Yeah, more of a specialist. I think he's got a lot more offensive upside, Richie, though, than Burmistrov. But I know what you're saying. But if he's going to ask for, again, we talked about this, Yuri Hudler. Yeah. How did that work out for Calgary?
I mean, he wasn't bad, Hudler, but you know, I know what you're saying there. It's big money to pay, and a guy like that is. I wonder if there's a team that's going to pay him that. Maybe he ends up on like a Phoenix. Not that they have a ton of money, but maybe they like a player like that who's responsible, can add in a little offense, and can play to, you know, both sides of the puck.
What about Matthew Lombardi? Finished the year in Anaheim.
Well, I mean, he adds a speed quotient. So if you're going to be like, oh, I want to put with Evander Kane, I want to put just straight speed, he gets out of control of time with how fast he is. He's injury prone. He gets a bit of tunnel vision. He's not the biggest guy in the world. So I don't see him being necessarily a great fit for what they're trying to do here.
Clark MacArthur?
I mean, been with the organization before, so there are still some holdovers from the previous Atlanta regime. You know, if you want to put him on the wing on the third, fourth line, okay. But I think there are other guys who fit, who can. I think the Jets need guys who are defensively adept and can kill penalties and such, and he's more of like a third-line winger. Is not going to have to be a second-line guy, but he's tried to be a scorer. I don't see him fitting in.
Okay, continuing on here. Next up, David Clarkson. Ezzy, I'm going to start with you.
Well, we were talking about this off-air. The Toronto Maple Leafs really want him. He's from Ontario. Clarkson was up there as a goal-scoring leader last year with the New Jersey Devils and really faded off big time, but I really like his game. And, you know, to have a guy that has his talent, who is a former 30-goal scorer, that was last year he scored 30 goals for the Devils, he might be a guy that has priced himself out of New Jersey. As Richie mentioned, Valtteri Filppula might be asking for $4 million, and the Detroit Red Wings aren't willing to pay that. Same thing with Clarkson. Lamoriello might be saying, you know what, I don't want to pay you that type of money, you know, but he's a guy that's in his late 20s and has really come into his own only in the last 3 or 4 years. I think he'd be a great fit, but it seems like he wants to stay out east, and Toronto might be an option for him.
You know, perseverance. He's really made it all the way that people didn't think he could make it as far as he has.
Yep.
I think he'll be updated to the Devils somewhat.
Yep.
So I think they'll give him a good shot. I think Toronto is a team that probably interests him. They probably have interest, you know, interest, mutual interest, put it that way. Does he fit into what the Jets want to do? Absolutely. He's a big right winger. As is Wheeler, he can muck it up. He's got a good shot. He's good in the room and all those things. So
you talk about like Richie, like a compete level, like that guy.
He's worth a call.
He's an intense player. Goes up and down the ice, lays hits, plays a very physical game. And any player is going to want one of those guys. One of my favorite guys on the Devils. But again, that's a guy. You know, 6, 8, 10 teams are going to want to try to get on their roster.
You don't want to overpay for those kind of guys too, because he's not a 40-goal scorer.
Last guy before the break, guy who played in Winnipeg with the Moose, Mason Raymond.
Well, he does, I mean, injuries aside, he does add, he's a great skater. A guy they're familiar with. I could see that being a fit. Here. He's not going to ask for too much money. I know the Jets want to get a little bit faster. Yep. And maybe he plays your third-line wing role. He can play second-line, too. So that's a guy I think they'll probably make a pretty quick call on.
Yeah, and with the connection with the Manitoba Moose, he's got speed, he's got a scoring touch, struggled mightily at times on the Canucks when they asked him to provide secondary offense. He was putting up bigger numbers 2 years ago. But again, a guy that will definitely be an improvement, a veteran, a guy that has had success in the NHL. The Jets need some of those guys, because we've talked about it. There are holes on this roster, and it's there's a possibility that 5 or 6, maybe even 7 of the free agents right now won't be re-signed, and you're going to have to fill these roles. And why not go to a guy that has familiarity with the city?
Speed on the wings. Could use some speed, especially depth speed.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Bradley Clayton is going to join us. He's a scout with the Dubuque Fighting Saints of the United States Hockey League. They have draft-eligible players for next week in New Jersey. We're going to talk to Bradley about some of the best draft-eligible players coming from the USHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Bradley Clayton. Bradley is a scout for the Dubuque Fighting Saints of the United States Hockey League. We're wrapping up our segments dedicated to the NHL draft preview by discussing the draft prospects from the United States Hockey League. Bradley, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Bradley, the first player we want to ask you about from the United States Hockey League is Steve Santini. He played with the National Team Development Program. He's a 95 birthday. What can you tell us about Steve Santini's game and how he projects as a future NHL professional?
He's a solid all-around player. I myself had not had the opportunity to recruit him, obviously going to the national program. Mm-hmm. And also, I hadn't seen him play too much this year. But he's a solid all-around player, and I think he should be a pretty high pick.
A teammate of his, Bradley, at the United States National Development Program is JT Compher, center, point of game last season. Do you know, can you tell us a little bit about his game and how he maybe compared to some of the other draft eligible players?
You know, he's a player that I actually did recruit for the Fighting Saints when his futures year was up. And he's a high-end player, very, very good hockey sense. I believe he's committed to the University of Michigan. And, you know, I could see him also as going in, you know, the top picks in the draft without a doubt. I think he brings a lot to the table. And, you know, I still think he has some upside also, you know, coming into the NHL and then just college years.
Bradley, the next guy we wanted to ask you about is Ian McCaution. He plays for Waterloo in the United States Hockey League. Craig Button had him ranked 38th, so an early second rounder. How would you describe his game, and who would an NHL comparable maybe be for him?
You know, he's a very nice puck-moving defenseman. You know, he does play with a little bit of jam. You know, he's probably the top-ranked defenseman coming out of the USHL. And, you know, I think he would probably maybe go in lines with maybe a Brian Leetch, or, you know, but with a little more jam, you know.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're joined by Bradley Clayton. Bradley is a scout for the Dubuque Fighting Saints of the United States Hockey League. Bradley, a guy who didn't actually play in the USHL, but he played high school hockey in Minnesota from Edina High. Connor Hurley, 32 points in 31 games playing high school. You know, good height, 6'1", probably needs to fill out a little bit. What have you seen from Bradley, from Connor's game, and how do you see him projecting as a future pro?
I, being from Minnesota myself, I've seen him play quite a bit and watch him grow up into his game. I think he had a real nice year this year. Once again, you see him he should be going in the top two rounds. You know, he controls the puck really well. He needs probably to, you know, compete harder for pucks and things like that, but you kind of see that in Minnesota high school when, you know, a player like that can dominate so much. You know, sometimes he almost seems bored. He's such a high-end player. But I've another kid that has a ton of upside, and I think he'll be challenged next year if he's going to be playing for Muskegon in the USHL.
Connor Hurley is rated 44th overall on Craig Button's final draft list, Bradley, and right after him is Keaton Thompson, another guy out of the U.S. National Development Program, another defenseman as well. Not the biggest guy in the world, but what can you tell us about his game?
He's a kid from North Dakota, kid who also I've recruited. He's actually another solid all-around D. He's got a good stick. He makes a good first pass, and he moves real well. You know, I don't exactly know where I picture him going in the draft, but, you know, probably second or third round, depending on team's needs.
John Hayden is a guy that's committed to Yale for next year. He played for the United States National Team Development Program. He's projected to go somewhere in the late second round, early third round there. What can you tell us about his game, and is he a guy that you know, might be a steal for someone as a kind of a late second rounder, early third rounder?
I agree. I think he's hard to play against. You know what I mean? He plays a tough physical game. He also brings some skill to the table, and we all saw that, you know, when he played for Team USA.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are talking about the United States Hockey League draft eligible prospects with Bradley Clayton, a scout for the Dubuque Fighting Saints of the United States Hockey League. Bradley, going back to Waterloo of the USHL, a guy named Taylor Camerata, expected to be probably a late second, early third round pick. Guy who put up a ton of points, 90 points in 57 games, definitely undersized at 5'7", 156. You know, do you see him being able to adapt to the NHL game, or is his size just going to be too much of an issue for him to overcome?
I think more so with him, it's just skating. The kid has high-end hockey sense. He can put pucks in the net. He finds the scoring areas. You know, I think when I say skating, sometimes that, you know, if you can get to the right spots with your skating, you're going to be effective. Mm-hmm. But I think that might be more of his downfall. He is strong on his skates for a smaller player, but, you know, he may go, you know, a little later in the draft. He may go earlier, depending on what team's like. And, you know, I think whoever gets him is going to get a real nice player if he can adapt, you know, skating-wise and keeping up with the pro game.
Bradley, we want to ask you about a guy who played for Dubuque last year, defenseman Mike Downing. The Jets have taken another defenseman for the University of Michigan who played for the University of Michigan, Jacob Trouba. Why should the Jets take Mike Downing, who's also committed to the University of Michigan?
Mike is a great kid, well-rounded player who got a lot better for us this year. His second year with us, he's taken on a little bit more of a leadership role this year. He's willing to drop the gloves, stand up for his teammates. He moves up well, and I think it'd just be a smart pick because you're getting a real quality kid that's going to give you 110% on the ice and off the ice.
Bradley Clayton, scout from the Dubuque Fighting Saints, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, providing some insight into the USHL draft-eligible prospects.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, Bradley. You know, before we go to break, guys, you know, next Saturday, mm-hmm. we're going to be live there. You guys are going to be in New York on Saturday, New Jersey on Sunday.
You're going to be with us in spirit.
I'm going to be I'll be with you actually on radio as well. Yeah. Dave Manuk will be there physically as well. But, you know, we've been doing these previews. You know, for the draft, and this is a big draft for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean,
10 picks.
Well, 10 picks, 5 in the first 5 round. Pardon me, 5 in the
three
first
rounds.
3 rounds.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, this could be the future of the team draft if they do well with this.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't want to. I mean, we've seen, you know, as we were going through the free agent list just now. We're going through the free agent forwards, and last week the free agent defense and goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, I mean, with all due respect to the city, and you know, we live here, we love the city, it's not going to be a number one destination for free agents.
That's right, you got to draft.
You got to draft. It's that
and
simple.
Trade.
Draft and trade, of course. Yeah. But I mean, the Jets need to hit some home runs. It seems like they've hit a home run with Jacob Trouba.
Yes. It's early, but yes.
It's early, but yes. They need to, it's time, and you know, and Adam Lowry seems like he's developed better than the Jets probably expected to some extent, maybe. It's time to keep hitting those out, and you got to build your roster, and you got to build your franchise, and it's essential that it starts next Saturday, next Sunday in New Jersey for the Winnipeg Jets.
Especially essential because what it does eventually is it allows you to have production from cost-effective players, and then you're able to spend on the other players because you're playing at a middle-level cap, and if you can have productive entry-level guys, then you can spend money on the other guys.
And if you create a culture of winning and a franchise of success, it's a lot more appealing to a free agent than it currently is until the Jets sort of have to prove themselves to free agents. Again, programming note, next Saturday, 9 to 11, a special edition of Hustler and Lawless. 11 to 3, all-time central. A special cross-the-board TSN radio draft special featuring all of the draft insiders, all of the draft experts. You guys will be on there. You'll hear from everybody that's involved in the TSN and TSN radio families. Then, special start time. Make a note, 3 p.m., the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Next Sunday, coverage starts, I believe, 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. live from the Prudential Center in New Jersey. You guys will be there. I will be in Winnipeg broadcasting along with my colleague Brian Munns. We'll be at the Shark Club downtown, site of the Winnipeg Jets draft party. We have you covered NHL draft-wise here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Let's go to break.
I was raised at a steelhead swamp some misty years ago.
Little Bruce, as always, ends the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Saturday afternoon. I misspoke before the break. The Jets have 6 draft picks in the first 3 rounds of this upcoming NHL draft. A shout-out to our good buddy Andrew Jensen for correcting me on that. Next week, Andrew Jensen will be replacing me, if everything goes well. Anyways, big win update from Toronto. Big win for the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. 10 in a row, they just defeated the Baltimore Orioles on a Jose Bautista bottom of the 8th 2-run homer off Jeremy O'Day, giving the Jays a 4-2 victory. It was O'Day yesterday who was chatting a little bit too much for Jose Bautista's liking. Bautista got his revenge today in the bottom of the 8th with a 2-run homer, and he wasn't shy about telling O'Day to be quiet. And I like that about Jose Bautista. He's, you know what, he's got confidence, and right. he's not afraid to tell a relatively middling relief pitcher to, you know your role, as the expression goes.
Great to see the Blue Jays one game above 500 now.
Yeah, Richie, you can wear your Jays hat with pride.
I wore it with pride before that, Drew. I'm not a bandwagoner.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not a bandwagoner either. But I wish we could say the same about the people in Toronto, but I don't think that's the case, unfortunately. Anyways, where were we going now? Oh, right, a couple odds and ends from around the NHL. David Poile.
Yes.
Expected to be named the general manager of the United States team at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Right choice?
Yeah, I think it is the right choice. I mean, he's done a great job. You could pick Brian Burke as well, I guess. The one benefit, I think, if you're, and I'm not sure who's part of that group yet, But if it is a guy like a Brian Burke,
I would think Lou Lamoriello is probably
Lamoriello too. But I mean, I'm saying with Brian Burke, from that perspective of, he's got time off right now, so he can spend more time putting in the roster. But I'm sure he'll have some input. In any event, David Poile has been a very, very good general manager for a long period of time, and certainly a great choice. And the U.S. is looking really good. You know, look good in goal. Jonathan Quick, some real nice defenseman. They're going to be a tough out in on the big ice.
Absolutely, I think that was a no-brainer too. I think it's like a passing of the torch for David Poile. He's done such a good job in Nashville that, you know, it's his time to run the program in that sense, manage the program more so, not run the program. But Brian Burke did it for a long time. And as you mentioned, we've had him on the show before. Really nice guy, smart hockey guy. So that was a good hire.
Wonder who'll be the coach.
It's a good question. Team. I mean, yeah. You know, who's the...
I think Biles might probably be the coach of that team.
Yeah, if he's a... Who, it was Ron Wilson last time. That was based on the ties to...
Laviolette was an assistant.
You don't have to be an American to be the coach, do you?
No, but I mean, Biles was an American,
yeah,
I believe. And Shiro was a general manager, assistant general manager with Poile in Nashville. So there's a connection there. And I wouldn't be surprised if Biles was the coach of the team in 2014 in Sochi, Russia.
There's no reason not to pick him. I mean, it seems logical at that point in time. I mean,
there are other qualified American candidates. I just think he'd be the best one right now.
Well, who are the other qualified guys right now that jump to mind?
Well, I mean
you're not going Ron Wilson. You're not going Tortorella.
You know, are you going Tortorella? I mean, you could toss it out.
Can you imagine there would be an international incident there?
Yeah.
Putin would get involved and he'd steal Tortorella's Stanley Cup ring.
Isn't that poutine?
No, that's what you eat. That's what you're going to eat after the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dan Bylsma, I did not know this. Drafted by the Winnipeg Jets.
Was he?
Yeah. Sixth round, 109th overall in the 1989 NHL entry draft.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Most of his success was with the Ducks, of course.
Yes.
Not much success in that playing career.
Well, you know. Yeah. At least that's where he played the longest time. How about that? I should mention before we get too much into this segment that it's brought to you by the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in the province. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada, with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association of Manitoba at cga-manitoba.org. The CGA Association of Manitoba, we see more than numbers.
Other candidates for the American staff, Jack Capuano, John Cooper. John or Don? I always forget
John.
Which one. John, yeah. John Cooper, Capuano, we mentioned Laviolette. So, I mean, there are a bunch of guys who could coach, but I think Balsma is the most well-suited for that.
Especially,
position.
As you mentioned, the ties between Shiro and Poile there in Nashville, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you can go one degree of separation there. Sure. Moving away from that, the big trade candidate, the guy who everybody expects to get dealt this year, goaltender, not talking about the Longo for once, Jonathan Bernier. Supposedly down to, you know, five suitors left for his services. Those five suitors, according to published reports, are the New York Islanders, the Florida Panthers, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Minnesota Wild. Can you see a situation where either Bernier or where, you know, depending on where Bernier goes, that'll really free up the Luongo market, or are they two completely separate situations?
They could be related because you mentioned Florida and Toronto, and they've been mentioned as being candidates for where Luongo goes. I think this is a perfect storm for LA from their perspective for a second. You have Quick. You don't need to trade Bernier, but you like to trade Bernier. You create a bidding war. You want to do it before free agency because that's when people will fill spots without it. So it could open up the Luongo thing, but it seems like if you're Toronto, you bring him in as you'd kind of fight with Reimer and see what happens there. They're going to get a nice hefty return for him, though. And I bet you they're saying, Toronto, okay, give us Kadri. I'm not saying they're going to get it, but they're going to ask for young talent, maybe one-for-one young talent, Matt Reed. Maybe more they're asking for. Maybe they're asking for Couturier. I would do Bernier for Reed, though, if I were LA. I like Matt Reed's game.
If you're Toronto, do you need Bernier, or are you comfortable with Reimer?
Well, talent-wise, they'll tell
you. Do you give up Kadri to get...
I don't. Yeah. I don't, but I mean, I'm LA, I'm asking for it.
Sure, you can always ask for the moon.
Yeah, you know, so Minnesota's got a lot of nice prospects. So you're going to ask for Granlin or Coyle, probably not going to give you either one. But you're going to ask for that. And Minnesota needs a goalie, but they could sign Backstrom. So it's an interesting game. Philly makes the most sense because they have these young guys who can play or play on the roster now who can fit the spot.
Do you think Paul Holmgren sees that Sergei Bobrovsky wins the Vezina and he just like punches himself in the face? Like,
no, I think he punches Ed Snyder in the face because Snyder made him sign Bruce Gallov.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, you have to know he didn't want to sign that contract.
Yeah, it's tough to see them having complete confidence in Steve Mason. We don't know what they're doing. It looks like they might buy Brizgalov out. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, right now, the goalie market is thin, and Jonathan Bernier's stock is extremely high. So when Richie says that, you know, they're going to ask for something high in return, they should, because they know that a lot of teams want him. And I think he probably would be an upgrade over James Reimer. I really like James Reimer, and I think that he probably is more suited to a backup role, though. But, you know, Jonathan Bernier will probably get traded this year. That has to be, you know, the year that he gets traded.
Where's Bernier's best landing spot for
I'm
him?
I'm interested, though. You hear Florida possibly be interested. That says a lot about Markstrom.
Yeah. Because everybody's saying the reason why Florida wasn't going to go for Luongo is largely, in addition to, obviously, the Luongo contract.
I think Philly gets Bernier, they buy out Brizgalov. If they don't get Bernier, maybe they wait next year to see.
And then Brizgalov goes to Florida. It's a nice little game of goaltender musical chairs.
I think Brizgalov goes to KHL.
I think he goes to either Minnesota or Philly, because Minnesota's got a lot of young pieces and Philly's got guys ready to go.
Goes to Mother Russia, Adrian?
No, I don't think Bernier goes to Mother Russia. I think Brizgalov might end up in Mother Russia.
Maybe I'll go to Mother Russia, visit
the old country.
Interesting country.
You like borscht?
I do. Drink it and eat it and enjoy it. That's right.
You bathe in it, in fact.
I was waiting to say where you're going from that at that point in time.
Yeah.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stick like this.
Surprisingly not good.
The man to my immediate left, who bathes in borscht, Ezra Ginsberg.
I'm going to cheer Brent Seabrook. He was struggling earlier on in the playoffs this year. We were talking about what was wrong with him. He was struggling. He didn't have any points. He got that overtime winning goal against the Detroit Red Wings, and he got an overtime winning goal, of course, in Game 4. And he's played a huge role. He was a calming presence for Jonathan Toews and really motivated Jonathan Toews. Everybody remembers when he skated over to the bench and tapped him on the head. Don Cherry has reminded us about that on CBC. But good for Brent Seabrook for turning his playoffs around, because he was struggling before. Now he's got two huge overtime goals.
I'm going to jeer the Canucks hiring of John Tortorella. I think what it means to me is that you can treat people like garbage and still get shot after shot. And I think that I just don't like it. I don't like the way he treats the media. I don't like his overall just treatment of the public for the most part. He's arrogant. He's demeaning. And I don't like the fit there either, to be honest. So I'm going to jeer that.
So you jeer it as a personal note and on a hockey note, is what you're saying.
Both, yeah, and I think they're intertwined.
It's funny because I love Tortorella. He's one of my favorite people. I can't wait to interview him when he's in Winnipeg. I'm looking forward to his really nice, polite personality.
And God forbid, you know, somebody asked him after he's hired who and how many assistant coaches he'll have.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he only has one, so I mean, he knows everything, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm jeering Rene Rancourt. Rene Rancourt is the anthem singer for the Boston
Fist
Bruins.
Pumps.
The guy who does the fist pumps and he does the showmanship.
Like,
you know, nobody goes to a hockey game to see the anthem singer. Belt it out, do it proud, and then get off the ice.
What about in Philly?
Who cheers an anthem singer?
True.
I like Rene Rancourt.
No, I don't like Rene Rancourt. Get off the ice.
What?
Do your thing and get off the ice.
We're going to get some mail from Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't need him showing off and everything else.
God bless America. What's her name?
Kate Smith.
People went to see her.
Yeah, well.
They put a video of her.
That was 1970.
Well, that's when you were the year you were born.
I was waiting for that one. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Saturday afternoon. A big thank you to our guests, Ben Kuzma of the Vancouver Province, Michael Farber, Hockey Hall of Fame journalist, and from the TSN's The Reporters, Frank Provenzano, former assistant general manager of the Dallas Stars, Grant Saunier, current general manager of the Charlottetown Islanders and ESPN draft insider, and Bradley Clayton, a scout for the Dubuque Fighting Saints. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Reminder, programming notes, 3 p.m. next Saturday for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
But draft coverage starts here on TSN 1290 at 9 a.m. and again Sunday afternoon with draft coverage from New Jersey. For Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, producer Tim and producer Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.